the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Stablecoins are displacing Bitcoin as South Africa's most popular cryptocurrency. Stablecoins were dismissed a few years ago as a curiosity, but they are rapidly changing the face of finance. The total market cap of US dollar-linked stablecoins has shot up from about $5 billion 4 years ago to nearly $190 billion today, a rate of growth that has surpassed that of Bitcoin. But what's more interesting is how stablecoin adoption has exploded in South Africa and across the continent. The largest stablecoin by a long way is Tether, with a market cap of $135 billion. It was shrouded in controversy just a few years ago over whether the crypto dollars it was selling were backed by real money. It was subsequently cleared of those suspicions and in 2023 notched up a profit of $6.2 billion, making it more profitable than the world's largest asset manager, BlackRock, if you can believe that. Now, Tether has snagged a whale in the form of financial services giant Cantor Fitzgerald, which has just acquired 5% of the company for $600 million. That tells us something about the future of finance. If you own US dollars in a bank account, they are insured against loss only up to a certain limit, and transacting can take several days. Tether, on the other hand, can be transferred anywhere in the world in minutes. Tether is 100% backed by reserves, whereas banks are held to a much lower reserve requirement. Needless to say, South Africans are beginning to understand this, as are people elsewhere in the continent. To help us explain what's going on here, we're joined by Mark Bugua, South Africa Regional Manager of crypto firm Yellow Card. Hi, Mark. Thanks very much for joining us. Good to have you on the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast. Let's just kick off here and explain why stablecoins are displacing Bitcoin as South Africa's most popular cryptocurrency. What's going on here?
Yeah, good to be on, Kieran. Thanks for having me. So, I mean, I think you touched on a lot of the benefits when it comes to stablecoins. But, you know, in South Africa, there are an estimated, 5.8 million people who use crypto assets. And over the last year, since October 2023, we've been seeing 50% month-on-month growth specific to stablecoins. Now, I think there's a number of reasons for this growth in popularity. When you look at, first of all, the likes of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other crypto coins, they're quite volatile. And in contrast, stablecoins, by virtue of their name, they're stable. They hold the value to against the currency or commodity or asset that to which they're pegged. You spoke of USDT, which is pegged to the US dollar. And really, that stability is attractive to South Africans for a number of reasons. Firstly, we live in a country where our currency has been devaluing. If you look over the last 5-10 years, significant depreciation in the South African rand. Inflation is also something that worries a lot of individuals and institutions. And stablecoins have offered a place for both businesses and people to put their hard-earned money where it can hold value. So I think that's probably the biggest reason why we see a greater number of people and businesses using stablecoins. But I think second to that, cryptocurrencies and including stablecoins are very easy to move. So moving value across borders is fast, instant, and much, much cheaper than what you see when it comes to other means of moving value across borders on the African continent. I think you can expect more traditional channels to cost 10%+, whereas with stablecoins, it's a fraction of that. So I think those are probably the two reasons why we've seen such a rise in popularity of stablecoins in South Africa and more broadly on the continent.
All right, I want to come back to this issue of adoption because I believe you are in Kenya at the moment, and we did recently speak to somebody from Kenya about stablecoin adoption there. But I want you to first of all touch on Yellow Card. You've got offices in more than 20 countries in Africa. Tell us a bit about the company. Is it an exchange as we understand it alongside the likes of Luna and Valor, or is it a different animal altogether?
At Yellow Card, we like to actually call ourselves a stablecoin company, just because so much of what we do is with that particular class of cryptocurrency. But in short, we were founded in 2018 by two young Americans, and have in the ensuing time grown to be present in 20 countries across the African continent. I think that's probably the first major difference when you're talking about Yellow Card vis-a-vis the likes of Luna and Valor. While I believe Luna and Valor may be present in one or two other African countries outside of South Africa, I think there's no other sort of digital asset player, and I might actually go as far as to say no other fintech on the African continent that is so widespread. In every market where we are on the continent, we have local entities, local bank accounts, and we do this, and we've painstakingly done this over the years. In order to provide our customers, both retail and institutional, with on and off ramp options in local currencies and across different channels, be it bank transfer, mobile money, whatever is most popular in a specific country, we work hard to make sure that's offered to our customers. So yeah, so in this time, we've facilitated over $3 billion in transactions. We have 260 staff, the vast majority of whom, probably 95%, are dotted all over the African continent. And yes, we serve a growing number of retail and institutional customers with an on and off ramp exchange, very similar to the other players that you just mentioned. But we also have B2B products that we're seeing having growing popularity and interest. We have an API which allows businesses to integrate with us and serve African customers with on and off ramp options into local currency. A crypto widget which does the same, allows businesses to offer their customers on and off ramps onto the cryptos that we sell. And we also have a commercial trading platform that works with businesses to solve some of their complex treasury management challenges that come along with doing business across borders on the African continent.
I want to touch on that now. So the use cases for stable coins in these 20 different countries that you're talking about. We're very familiar with people using stable coins as a way to park profits. They think Bitcoin's gone up too high, or they fear that it may come down, so they're going to park those profits in a stablecoin. That was the original use case. But of course, it's really grown from there into a whole range of other use cases. Talk about that. I mean, remittances is very big in Africa. And when we were speaking previously, you were talking about treasury services. I think companies would be interested to hear about that. And particularly when we're talking about treasury, explain what it is and how does that interface with regulations in each of these countries. And can these companies move those stable coins across borders or not?
Yeah, so I mean, with use cases, so I mean, I guess we can separate the retail and institutional uses. On the retail side, I think we've touched on that. People are moving from their local currency into stable coins such as USDT, and they're holding it there, their savings, so that they don't lose too much value, or as their local currency depreciates, they can maintain the value of their money in a more stable currency such as the dollar. And then there's individuals moving value across borders, which happens at a fraction of a cost compared to other manners of transfer. On the institutional side, There's a number of solutions, right? So we recently launched an invoice payment service, for example. So if one of our institutional customers wants to pay a supplier in a particular country without having to sort of do it via the slow and expensive sort of SWIFT system or other bank transfer, we can facilitate that with our crypto rails. We also can help businesses move value from one entity in one country to another. So there's a host of treasury sort of solutions that we offer. Now, you brought the question on regulation, and that's really, really quite apt, right? So at present, only a handful of African countries have digital asset crypto regulatory frameworks, right? So we've recently received our CASP license in South Africa. And so we are licensed FSP. And in this country, any crypto asset that includes stablecoins that are sent abroad offshore, they constitute an export of capital, right? And would be subject to the exchange control framework, right? So in the South African context, individuals and businesses have a limit, of course, of how much they can expropriate, and they would need to follow that, whether they're sending hard USDs or stablecoins, and we will, of course, adhere to the framework set out by the SARB. However, in other markets on the continent, there's still a huge gray area, and cryptocurrencies and stablecoins don't really fit into the existing legislation. So essentially, that what we see is that, you know, businesses, individuals are using, you know, these assets to remit elsewhere. But I think it's in the interest of everyone for regulation to catch up with the innovation that we're seeing. Everywhere we operate, we are in constant sort of connection or communication with the regulators. We're licensed in Botswana. We received the first virtual asset service provider license that they issued in the country there, and have a really strong relationship with NBFIRA, the agency that is in charge of that. And we've been in a number of regulatory sandboxes in Zambia, in Kenya, in talks in Nigeria, because we think, you know, it's going to be better for the governments, the regulators, the businesses, the consumers, and the players in the space if we have a clear understanding of how what we can and cannot do, and how these really powerful and innovative products can be used legally to solve problems. In short, where we have been given, you know, a firm regulation and guidelines, we follow it to a T. And where there doesn't exist, we're really trying to work with the regulators to support them as they bring this regulation to fruition.
Right. So it does seem that regulators are a little bit behind the curve. Not in South Africa, probably not in Botswana, but in other parts. You know, we see that Nigeria, there's been massive uptake in stablecoin adoption there. It seems that the regulators haven't quite got their minds around how to handle this. And it's partly a response to the devaluation of the Naira. So people are, you know, finding out that there are ways that they can actually insure themselves against reckless central bank behavior. You've seen the same thing. Kenya's different. Case because I think the Kenyan shilling has been strengthening there. There seems to be a little bit more fiscally responsible. But okay, let's just shift now to some of the other kinds of stable coins. Tether is the biggest. And it's got a market cap of 135 billion, but then you've got USDC. Now you're also starting to see other types of stable coins. That would be gold-backed stable coins, and there's even rand-backed stable coins. Are you seeing any demand for other types of stable coins, a yellow card?
So we have, I mean, half of the coins that we list on our exchange are actually stable coins. So we've got a number for our customers to choose from. There's USDT, there's USDC, as you've just mentioned. This PYUSD, PayPal's recently, not too long ago, issued stablecoin. There's the CeeLo dollar. USDT is the most popular on our platform, but we also believe that it's important to, you know, to offer options, and that's what we've done. So not only do we have a variety of stable coins for our customers to choose from, we also are constantly increasing the various sort of networks, you can think of that as sort of the various rails that people can use to remit, the stable coins on the platform.
Given the regulatory issues of moving money across borders from South Africa, which is probably the most regulated country in Africa, are you seeing companies using stable coins as part of their treasury framework? Are they shifting the rand into US dollar backed stable coins to hold it and perhaps to make payments within the SARB guidelines?
I think we're seeing that slowly increase. I'd say for the most part, the businesses in South Africa who are doing that are already sort of crypto native businesses who sort of know the space and are dealing in the space already. But with this regulation, we're having more and more conversations with, I guess, what you might call more traditional businesses who want to explore what stable coins can do for them in their sort of business and treasury solutions. So in the instance of the CASP framework that the SARB has set out, I think it's an example of how regulation can give businesses confidence to explore new technologies that they would have previously shied away from without such a framework, right? So, now that a business can say that essentially they're going to treat the USDT like they would US dollars on their balance sheet and with their with their capital sort of controls and whatnot, it gives them confidence to try them, and that I think that's what we're seeing with some of the partners that we work with.
Does it surprise you that more South African companies are not, apart from the crypto companies themselves, does it surprise you that more South African companies are not looking at stable coins?
Not really, because I think with technological adoption, there's a curve, and despite crypto having been here for quite some time now, and a lot of people knowing and reading more about it, I think we're still quite early with crypto, and particularly with stable coins and how they're going to be utilized on the continent. So, but I do think in the next probably 5 years or so, we're probably going to see a exponential sort of growth when it comes to this usage, right? Maybe a small anecdote is we are really shifting a lot of the audiences that we're speaking to. We recently attended a CFO Kenya meeting, which is sort of the body that brings together CFOs from the largest businesses in the country here in Kenya. And really, we were just introducing them to stable coins, to Yellow Card, and how we can partner. And there was a lot of interest, right? There was a lot of questions, a lot of curiosity. But more than anything, people said we want to hear more, because I think there is a clear realization that these assets can solve significant problems for businesses, but we just need to work together with the businesses and the regulators to make sure that it's done in a way that that keeps everything above board for these large organizations.
Yeah, I'm sure you come up with the usual questions is like, how secure is this? Because what you're effectively doing with stable coins is you're storing it in a wallet. It can be a hardware wallet or a software wallet, but it basically has an address similar to your bank account. And they probably feel, well, can that be hacked? And if it can we use our money? So they want those questions answered. And probably you're going to have to guide them as well on the regulatory issues. What are the potential concerns if we start moving this across border? Are these the kind of questions that these CFOs would be asking?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And of course, the more technical of them also kind of want to know the more technical ins and out of the blockchain and how it functions and how the ledger works and how things are recorded. And you know, we were happy to walk them through that as well. But yes, and I think that's why as a business, we've also invested a huge amount in our technology, in our security, in our compliance, our KYB processes, our AML structures are essentially, you know, best in class anywhere in the world. And we did this because really the companies that we want to be working with going forward are large established corporates, not just in Africa, but across the world. And these are the questions that they want to understand and they want answered and they need that security. So yeah, a great deal of effort and resources has been put into that at Yellow Card.
This goal of financial inclusion that banks and regulators talk about, been spoken about for decades, and Africa's a long way from achieving this goal. Do stablecoins fit into the solution at all? And does Yellow Card fit into the solution?
I think it's a resounding yes to that question. You know, when you compare the African crypto environment with, say, a region like Asia, Crypto investment in Asia is really led by high net worth and institutional players. And I want to say it's probably a lot more sort of trading and speculative. Whereas on the continent, while the volumes themselves are significantly lower, I mean, I think Africa accounts for maybe somewhere between 3 to 4% of overall crypto volumes globally. But those volumes are really being driven much more by individuals and small businesses who are looking to solve problems that really exist nowhere else, right? And that stablecoins offer really quite seamless solutions to. I think another thing to say, especially when I look at the retail, I mean, when we talk about inclusion, we're talking about individuals, right? You take what stablecoins can do and you map that onto an environment where 60% of the continent's population is under 25 and very tech savvy. To that, you add a smartphone penetration that's sitting at around 50% on the continent, but that is set to rise to close to 90% by 2030, right? So 90% of Africans are set to have smart enough phones for these technologies. And then the last piece is telcos and governments are doing a great deal to improve connectivity, whether it's 3G, 4G, into rural areas. We can see what the likes of Starlink are doing across the continent as well. So I think what we're moving towards is almost like a perfect storm of conditions when it comes to the demographics, the technology, the connectivity. And then once that's in place, who wouldn't want to have essentially a US dollar account that they can transact on their phone instantly at close to no cost, you know? So in short, I think we're going to see quite the revolution when it comes to stable coins on the African continent in the next five years or so.
Finally, Mark, you might have touched on this, you might have answered it already, but the future of finance in Africa, stablecoin adoption, you said, is going to go exponential, probably in the next 5 years. It's clear that stablecoins is offering a solution that Africa is crying out for, but it does create some competition for central banks, because central banks work in this alliance with governments where, you know, they can borrow, they can inflate away the currency. And we've seen that. We don't need to go over that again. There's so many examples across Africa of this reckless kind of central bank behavior. is Africa going to be able to leapfrog over this kind of thing and just say, to hell with it, I don't need your local currency, I'm going to go with something that I think is more stable? Is this the future for Africa?
Our position at Yellow Card is we want to work with regulators and central banks closely. It's in our interests, it's in the central bank's interests, it's in the industry's interest. Ultimately, it's in the end users and the end institutions. So we meet with these organizations regularly. Like I said, we already have a number of licenses, and we'll continue to work with them to help them create these frameworks for which we can operate with more clarity and less gray area. We've seen over the last few years a lot of usage in the absence of regulation. But I think really that's quite typical when it comes to technological advancements, right? Regulation always lags the innovation. But the likes of Yellow Card and other players in the space, we're really trying to help the regulators catch up and recognize that really this is a technology that's here to stay, that people are using regardless, and that they can use or have a positive relationship to, rather than seeing it as only a threat, right? On the retail side, I mean, we've spoken about how stablecoins will help with saving, holding value, with moving money. That has the opportunity to help hundreds of millions of Africans across the continent. But a piece that we're at Yellow Card that we're incredibly excited for is what our API and widget can do in terms of opening up Africa to the rest of the world. There are so many businesses where Africa is almost kind of the final frontier, right? We've got all these fintech, finance, NGOs, all sorts of businesses that are operating globally everywhere except the African continent for a plethora of reasons. But we've built a couple of products where we feel it makes partnering with these companies and allowing them access to 800 million, customers, consumers on the African continent really easy, without them having to sort of go through the painstaking and very complex job of localizing in country by country. So stablecoins need the regulation. They can help the individual, but really they can also help grow economies, and really that's a win for everyone. So we're incredibly excited about the future.
Fantastic. We're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us. That was Mark Mbugua, who is the country regional manager for Yellow Card in South Africa.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.